some Ivy League students are facing backlash over their comments about Israel. A top U.S. law firm, Davis Polk, said in an internal email that it had rescinded letters of employment for three law students. The firm said the students from Harvard and Columbia had signed onto statements about the Israel-Hamas conflict that went against their values. The email did not name the students or give specifics about the statements, but one open letter signed by student groups at Harvard said that they held Israel entirely responsible for the unfolding violence.
So this is now even more of a story than it had been. Remember on Friday for the Transgressors, we talked about this one guy, a billionaire hedge fund manager, who had said, I'm not going to hire any of these people. Give me their names. You know, the 30-odd student groups at Harvard that signed the proclamation that Israel was to blame, and it was not the Gazans' fault, that Israel deserved whatever they got, basically. And he said, I'm not hiring any of these people. He's asked other wealthy people to join him in this blackballing, blacklisting of them, and he wanted the names of the students. And then all of a sudden there was, oh, well, I don't know. You know what? Not sure who signed this thing exactly. There's been comparisons to the McCarthy era. Harvard has kind of backpedaled on this. They've come under tremendous scrutiny for, you know, what are you doing teaching these kids that, you know, terrorists are the good guys, and so on. Well, now you have, you know, this law firm it had offered to some of these students, you know, and there's actually, I think somebody has rented a truck, one of those billboard trucks, to drive around like the Boston area with the names scrolling on the side of the truck. Like advertising against them. These are the ones who signed on to this, you know, ridiculous statement. Combining with, you've got the call from Randy Fine here in Florida to, you know, put sympathizers out of Florida. Former President Trump has said that he would not allow people to come in who are, you know, Hamas sympathizers. There is a law on the books going back to like the 30s that says that, you know, advocates of or members in terrorist organizations or communist organizations, it says communist specifically, but totalitarian regimes is the phraseology, not allowed to come to the United States. And we talked about this a little the other day, but I wanted to ask you the question because this is, to me, this is big stuff. Okay. 437-1620. Do you think that, for example, Harvard students, okay, who say that Israel is to blame, should lose their entire financial future or employment opportunities over that? Should they be canceled over it? Keep in mind that on this subject, you really have to fight hard to be in the minority on this because Republicans and Democrats don't agree about much, but we agree about Israel, 90%+ of us. And then you have the squad, you know, the few outcasts, right? And then you have a few students. And, you know, should they be blackballed from employment over their political advocacy for a noxious, disgusting position? So my answer is no. My answer is no. And in case you're sort of new to this conversation or haven't heard me talk about this before, I think that one of the beauties of a capitalist system in a free market and in a First Amendment free speech tolerant environment like the United States is supposed to be is that people shouldn't lose their ability to participate in the economic market because they have obnoxious personal opinions, even disgusting ones. You know, I go to buy a product, and I don't care whether it was made by Republicans or Democrats. I don't care whether it was made by Christians or Jews or atheists or spaghetti monster worshipers. And I don't care whether it was made by pro-Israeli or, frankly, anti-Israeli people. I just care if the product is good. And I don't believe in boycotts over political or religious opinions. I don't believe in personal boycotts, which is what cancellation is, right? It's a personal boycott. It's boycotting a person, okay, and saying that we're not going to hire them. I think that you foster the kind of McCarthy-era horror, terror, fear that is not healthy for civil discourse, is not healthy for a country that says we're supposed to be. Tolerance specifically means you put up with and allow things you disagree with. It doesn't mean much if you only tolerate the things you agree with, because you can't tolerate something you agree with. You affirm something you agree with. You celebrate it. You support it. You can only tolerate things you disagree with. And I believe that the response to people advocating that Israel is wrong is you persuade them. You don't punish them. You persuade them. You don't punish them. You don't kick them out of school. You don't kick them out of, you know, your job. But, see, I believe that across the board. I don't want conservative Christians expelled from jobs or market opportunities, just like I don't want, you know, liberal Democrats or atheists expelled from job opportunities. I don't want a world in which somebody's religion or political view becomes a criteria checklist item on their employment application, or where their TikTok or Instagram or Twitter, and again, what they hold about moral, religious, or political subjects, I don't think that stuff should be disqualifying. There are rare cases where it makes sense. Like, okay, my job is to express views. And, you know, part of my job is to be a good news person. Part of my job is to be a, you know, politically conservative, because that's sort of our lean on this station, okay? I mean, it's not like a job requirement, but, you know, we're not hiring a raging liberal to do this job, okay? If something happens to me tomorrow, they're not going to put in a raging liberal, an MSNBC host or something like that, to do this job. So if I'm, like, on the air being conservative and I'm on Facebook saying conservatives are idiots, well, they'd be justified in getting rid of me, because not only is it a mixed message, it's bad for my brand, and my brand is opinion, okay? But if I work at an auto dealership, you know, or if I sell real estate, or I'm in a law firm, okay, the world we want to live in is the world where your views are your views. Well, Andrew, you don't understand. That could cost them. Yeah, but it could cost them because other people are stupid and they try to enforce political, moral, or religious views through economic leverage, which is terrible for a free society. So here's like my guiding phrase for my whole life has always been, you know, maybe this is the one thing that my liberal mother impressed on me and I kept all these years. Though I despise what you're saying, I will fight to the death for your right to say it. So the modern version is, though I despise what you're saying, I will fight to the death for you to be able to have a job and still say it. Because that's where we are from both directions now. And the canceling doesn't become right just because the viewpoint you're arguing for is right. Canceling itself is the problem. 617 on News Radio 92.3. Got a bunch of texts. I'll talk about this in just a second. Let's get Jake in here with traffic on the fives.
Looking good so far this morning. 10 and I-110 checking in clear. Highway 98 and Gulf Breeze in Navarre looking good so far, but that construction traffic will probably start near Tiger Point soon. If you have any traffic tips, text them on in to 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jake. So the question is, you know, should students at Harvard who expressed stupid political views in signing a declaration, should that be used to prevent them from getting a law job or any other job at a major company? 437-1620. Somebody here says, my answer is also no for the reasons you give. Somebody here says, I wouldn't cancel them, but I also wouldn't hire them to work for me. Yeah, I understand. I do. I understand that. And there might be circumstances where that's appropriate. But generally speaking, you want to tolerate. If somebody does a good product or service, hire them for that reason. If they have obnoxious personal opinions that you disagree with, don't punish them for that. Protect that, because protecting them is protecting everybody. You want a world in which that's protected. Okay, 437-1620. Somebody here says, if I'm a Jewish attorney, I'm not hiring somebody that hates me to work in my firm. I'd want to know. Now, that's an interesting angle. You know, would you hire somebody who hates you or your identity? You know, would you hire, let's say if you're a black-run company, would you hire a white racist? Or if you're a white-run company, would you hire a Black Lives Matter person to work, even if they were the best mechanic or accountant? I mean, I'll tell you, I might. I would like to think I would, frankly, hoping to be able to distinguish between them. But I get that it's harder. You know, I get that that's a little bit more challenging. 437-1620, they are supporting terrorist organizations. That's the difference here other than what you're saying. Advocating on behalf of a political cause is different from supporting. Supporting is a very particular word. Supporting would mean giving, you know, material support, typically money. Advocating in general is one thing, and legally there's a distinction here too. Like, you know, you can't, like, specifically incite to riot. That's not First Amendment protected speech. You cannot, you know, pass around the bucket and say, hey, give money, we're sending it to Hamas. That would be raising funds for a terrorist organization. But saying Israel is wrong, even saying they deserve what they get, as disgusting as an opinion of that as it is. And by the way, I was deciding whether I want to share this just yet or not, but yesterday UWF had a big forum on Palestine and Israel and the issues. It was very good, led by a couple of political science professors. And members of the audience, I think students, I'm assuming, were expressing support for Palestine and opposition to Israel. Very vehement. Now, they didn't come out and say, you know, Israelis deserve to die. Or they didn't come out and say Hamas was good. But they were saying things that clearly put them sort of pretty close to the Harvard students, okay? I don't think they should be punished either. I think they're wrong. I think they're misinformed. I think they're biased and young and stupid. But you shouldn't prevent people from having an economic future just because of that. Otherwise, we'd all have trouble. You know, I'm glad I was in college in a time when things, you know, I maybe didn't do a lot of stuff that would have got me in trouble, but a lot of my friends did. And maybe I did, too. I don't know. Things change, you know. Maybe an opinion I had in college would disqualify me in the next 5 years or 10 years. Maybe an opinion I've got now probably would for some people. Again, that's not the way freedom works. Like, freedom is to protect other people's right to be wrong, to be different, to be stupid. Stop buying the leftist totalitarian mindset of this stupid word people use, accountability. It's not accountability. It's intolerance. It's bigotry. 437-1620. Somebody says, do I care if the product is made in the U.S. or China? That's a complicated question. Typically, in an ideal world, the answer is no. But honestly, it's because of what free trade does for both sides. If you ever study economics, free trade is beneficial to both. The problem is not free trade, really, with China. I don't buy American just to buy American. I think it's best for all if we all buy the thing that's best. But that's a complicated conversation, especially in the current environment. Somebody here says, I care if a product is made by the cartel, by terrorists, by pedophiles, and those that want to cancel people in a protected class-based system. I understand. I do. I understand. But sometimes you have to take like that feeling of revulsion and say, well, that's what I am justified in holding against a view, or even justified in holding against not having, being friends, maybe, you know, having in my house, but working with in the marketplace. This, again, you shouldn't advocate for discrimination, which is what this is, just discrimination on the basis of the political view. 437-1620, when somebody here says, when I grew up, I say sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt. This is in reference to Trump, freedom of speech. And by the way, people on the right and the left have done this badly, I will say this. I'm afraid that we have students at these crazy universities from Iran being funded by Iran and maybe China. I'm adding on to that. Maybe that's true. If a leftist and a conservative company make the same product or equally good, I will purchase the product from the conservative company. Again, I understand that, but that should be so far down the list of caring that, you know, it almost should never come into place. Somebody here says, yes, they should get a job. Somebody says, no, freedom of speech and opinion, also freedom to hire who you want. Yeah, but freedom to hire who you want doesn't mean that it's always wise, and that's what I'm saying. I want to actually protect. Here's the irony. I would protect the hedge fund and the law firm in their right not to hire them, but I would say they're being foolish in not doing it, and they're contributing to a society in which discrimination and intolerance becomes a norm. But I don't want to, you know, I don't want to tell people that they can't say no to somebody. I want them to have that freedom, but that doesn't mean they're using the freedom well, right? That's the issue. They're using the freedom poorly. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McHale. We'll talk about more of these texts coming back in just a minute. It's News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
This is Paul Epstein with Running Wild. Join me today at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Discover why we at Running Wild are the running and fitness experts in the Pensacola and Fairhope communities, specializing in fitting you in the best shoe, apparel, and training for your unique needs. We pride ourselves on serving, training, and encouraging you to reach your goals. So bring your questions today at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Things keep getting bigger and better at Daryl Sewing of Pensacola. Daryl Sewing is the largest sewing machine dealer in the Pensacola area, offering a variety of sewing machines, sergers, and embroidery systems, plus a large selection of sewing machine furniture, craft supplies, and fabrics. Financing is available too. Call him today, 850-438-5444. Daryl Sewing, located at 6705 North Davis Highway between Creighton and Burgess. Online at sewinginpensacola.com.
Deep climbing.
Picked off! He brought it down with one hand!
Johnson
goes down! Sack!
The
This is your home for FSU football.
Watson deep downfield. Punch. Touchdown. FSU.
Rolling to his left. They're going to throw. End zone. Picked off.
Game over.
Catch live coverage of the Seminoles all season long right here on your home for Florida State football.
Listen to FSU football on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Brought to you by Pensacola Hardware.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today. Learn at your own pace and check out the Medical Marijuana Education Series. You decide what you'd like to learn and when with Mary on Demand. Visit mary.famu.edu. That's mmeri.famu.edu. And remember, recreational marijuana is still illegal in Florida. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Beach-a-ween is back on Friday from 4 to 8. Bring the family out to the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk to enjoy a free night of fun. Bounce houses, games, face painting, food, and
a Cat Country Kids costume contest.
This freaky fun event is brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the Santa Rosa Island Authority, and the Pensacola Beach Chamber of Commerce. Celebrate Beach-a-ween on the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk from 4 to 8 on Friday. It's Beach-a-ween.
Trick-or-treat!
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Let's see what's out there. Engage.
Hey, you! Watch this!
I don't know why, but I do have an affinity for some of this, like, lesser known, you know, 70s, 80s, you know, English pop,
ska.
Ska in this case with the beat. But anyway, 627 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Jake has got our traffic on the fives. Jake?
We have from the text line in Highway 29 South at Well Line Road. We've got a car disabled sideways in the outside lane there, so please use caution. Otherwise, no delays on Burgess or Olive. I-10, 110, checking in clear. Highway 98, Highway 90, looking good so far. If you have any traffic tips, text 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jake. If you are thinking about buying or selling a home, Christine Leavenworth and her folks at Leavenworth Realty are fantastic. There was and I say in her folks, I don't talk about her. I talk about her a lot. I don't often talk about the folks around her, but Dylan Smith got a really good review by a woman named Kelly, a 5-star review on the Leavenworth Realty website, just talking about he's being the like greatest realtor she's ever had. Helped me get my home, helped me understand the whole process of becoming a homeowner along the way. When I'd call, he was available. If not, he'd get back to me immediately as soon as possible, and he did just that. She's like, I don't know when this man even sleeps, which is great. Treated me like I was his own family, helping me find a forever home, and I truly couldn't be more grateful. If you want a realtor with excellent care and communication skills, Dylan is your guy. And that's the point. She's surrounded herself, Christine Leavenworth has, with people who are like-minded, like-hearted, and just love helping people with the expertise that they have gained in the real estate market. 723-9158 for Christine Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Another vote to elect a new Speaker of the House is scheduled for 10 o'clock our time this morning. Ohio Republican Jim Jordan did not get the necessary votes yesterday during the first ballot, but he says he has no plans of withdrawing his name. The first ever worker strike at casinos in Detroit is now underway. Andrew, casino workers walked off the job yesterday after they didn't come to terms on a new contract. Every day of the strike, casinos there are estimated to lose about $3.5 million in revenue, but they are actually still open, staffed by the workers that are not part of the union. And the IRS is testing a new free electronic tax filing system. This should be in 13 states next year. The agency said yesterday that hundreds of thousands of taxpayers will be eligible to participate in the limited tests. The first states to roll it out will be Arizona, California, Massachusetts, and New York, and Florida, and other states with no state income tax are also expected to be invited as early testers to the program.
It's a self-checkout at Walmart. That's great. Okay,
exactly,
David, thanks so much for the update. Just going back quickly to this Harvard story, somebody here says, reprehensible speech has fallout. They're free to say and feel whatever they want, but free speech doesn't equate to universal acceptance of that speech. Correct. But you should have more acceptance of that, or tolerance of that. Acceptance is not tolerance. Somebody here says, I also don't think it's your basic political or religious opinion, though. This is about a terrorist group. I understand. There might be limits. There might be limits. But generally speaking, what we want is a world in which people are tolerant of other people's stupidity and error and even wickedness spoken out loud.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. President Biden's in Israel, he says, is a show of solidarity for the war against Hamas terrorists in Gaza.
We have to also bear in mind that Hamas does not represent all the Palestinian people. And it has brought them only suffering.
He says it does not appear the Israeli military is responsible for an explosion killing hundreds at a hospital in Gaza yesterday.
This trip will make him the first head of state to visit Israel since Hamas launched their deadly attacks on October 7th. He'll then head to Jordan to meet with Arab leaders, including the Palestinian Authority president, about the humanitarian crisis in Gaza.
Fox's Jackie Heinrich, that part of the trip has been called off. Fox confirms that in Iraq, two one-way attack drones were intercepted early this morning, targeting the Al Asad air base where American troops are stationed. No word from those defense officials who might have launched the drones. No injuries are reported. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3, 52 degrees. It is partly cloudy right now in Pensacola. Beginning next month, the city of Pensacola will be allowing residents to drop off certain types of recycling materials.
Your typical number two plastics, like you think about your 2-liter bottle, the Coca-Cola or 20-ounce bottle, as well as your PET plastics, the heavier, which is your detergent bottles, milk jugs. Those are the two plastics we're taking.
Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves, he says they'll also be accepting steel and aluminum cans as well as clean broken down cardboard. Starting November 4th, residents can drop off those recycling materials on Saturdays from 7 a.m. till 3 p.m. at the city's public works and sanitation facilities on North Palafox. Santa Rosa County is getting $4.2 million towards infrastructure improvements at Whiting Aviation Park. That award announced yesterday by Governor DeSantis through the state's Job Growth Grant Fund. The money will be used to construct a helipad and a 2,800-foot taxiway, which will connect NAS Whiting Field to Whiting Aviation Park. Over the summer, Leonardo Helicopters broke ground on their 113,000-square-foot maintenance facility there. The state says the project is expected to create more than 150 new high-wage jobs here in the area. Some election supervisors in the state are pushing for legislation that would make election staff and poll workers exempt from public records requests. They say that's just to protect those workers with the concern they could be targets for intimidation or harassment.
That is one of our legislative priorities this year, as it was last year, to get public records exemption in the law to protect the information of poll workers and election workers.
Okaloosa County Election Supervisor Paul Lux, who talked with Channel 3, he says while his county hasn't received any troubling requests, nearby Leon County did receive a request for all names, positions, and political affiliations for their poll workers. Israel getting a little bit of help from the state of Florida. Governor DeSantis announced yesterday two cargo planes of supplies are expected to reach the country today. The Florida Division of Emergency Management filled those cargo planes with donated medical supplies, clothing items, hygiene products, and children's toys. DeSantis says with a lack of leadership in Washington, the state is stepping up to help our allies in Israel. Top Gun now becoming a reality show. It's called Top Gun, The Next Generation. It'll be on the National Geographic Channel. A premiere date has not been announced as of yet, but the show will apparently follow Navy student pilots during every step of their training as they embark on flight tests, including landing on aircraft carriers at sea, among many other challenging feats. It'll reportedly be the first time this level of access has been given to the Navy pilot training program. So I'm sure we'll all be excited to see that when it makes its debut. A Navarre man was arrested this week after being found with meth and fentanyl, then apparently telling deputies the pants he was wearing weren't his.
You know, unfortunately, we get some of the best stories ever. And I guess they think that the cops are just going to be, oh, not your pants. Can you tell us whose they are so we can go arrest them? I mean, you know, it's we hear everything out there. It's pretty interesting.
Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson there. And 47-year-old Merrick Hamilton was ultimately arrested. Deputies say they were originally looking for him on a warrant for a prior trespassing charge. He's been taken to the Santa Rosa County Jail and held on $10,000 bond. It's 6:35 at News Radio. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Jake.
Not too bad out there this morning in Cantonment, Highway 29 South at Well Line Road. We've got a car disabled sideways there in the outside lane, so it's a little slow right there. Use caution. I-10, I-110 checking in clear, Highway 98 and 90 looking good as well. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful sunny day today with temperatures warming up near 74 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 58 degrees. For Thursday, 10% chance of a stray shower, otherwise partly cloudy skies with a high near 75. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 62. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 52 in Pensacola, 55 in Gulf Breeze, 46 in Milton. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishinko with Your Money Now. X will start charging some new users a minimum annual fee to interact with the platform, a move owner Elon Musk said will combat fake and spam accounts. The platform, formerly known as Twitter, started testing the new subscription model called Not a Bot on Tuesday for users creating new accounts on the web in New Zealand and the Philippines. New accounts will have to verify their phone number and pay $1 annually to post content like posts, reply, or do other key functions. Chip equipment firm ASML reported a year-over-year rise in profit in the third quarter and beat analyst estimates, but forecast 2024 revenue to be flat. ASML is one of the most important semiconductor firms in the world, producing tools known as extreme ultraviolet lithography machines, which are required to manufacture the most advanced chips globally. Shares are down 2% in pre-market trading on the news. On Wall Street, futures are lower after stocks closed mixed yesterday. And that's Your Money Now.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Some folks like to drive alone. Some take their best friend, while others ride with their growing family. But no matter how many passengers you may have, there's a Volkswagen that'll fit you from Piedmore Imports. The all-new 2024 Jetta Sport. A sleek, compact sedan now from $24,385. The 2023 Taos S, a sporty crossover with a new lower price of $25,199. The 23 Tiguan S has a third row and now from $29,146. And the family-sized SUV that seats seven for everyone's comfort, the 2024 Atlas SE. Now at Feedmore Imports from $39,421, plus the VW ID4 EV. The all-electric SUV with plenty of space and features is now from $35,332 at Feedmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Feedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road.
Sale prices for tag, tax, title, and dealer fees. Discount on the new ID4 EV includes $7,500 lease rebate. See dealer for details.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, enjoy another evening downtown with friends and neighbors for another Gallery Night Pensacola Trick or Treat Edition. Check out the newest edition, Gallery Night's Market Zone at Government, across from Plaza Ferdinand. The Pensacola Lionfish Festival is Saturday and Sunday on Pensacola Beach Boardwalk. Enjoy the games, educational booths, art, filet demos, and eat some lionfish. See PensacolaLionfishShootout.com. Submit your events at NewsRadio923.com.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety.
No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3.
Lately, I've been losing sleep,
dreaming about the things that we could be. But baby, I've been praying hard. Said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Yeah, we'll be counting stars.
Good morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. A very interesting, I thought, discussion was had at a city council meeting last week. And it had to do with, you know, John Schell. He's the guy with Upward Intuition, a friend who's, you know, really was the primary point person that people associate with the skate park. And he's now purchased a property in the vicinity, and he's wanting to rehabilitate it. And I think it's the property that's right kitty corner across from the PPD, that kind of old, never used brick building, I think. But I could be wrong. It might be a different one. So don't quote me on that. I mean, I know I'm on the radio saying it, but I just, you know, it's over there somewhere, okay, on Haines Street. And the property has apparently got a lot of, like, $70,000+ worth of lien fines against it from the city for code, you know, violations. And so he had bought the property, and it's going to be several hundred thousand dollars, you know, he had purchased it to rehabilitate it. Like, we're talking about a big amount of money. And he was hoping that the city would forgive the $70,000-ish worth of liens. And Robin Tice, kind of the funny moment that started all of this was after they had a little bit of the conversation. She's the city clerk. You never hear from her in the meetings other than reading the agenda items or yes or no. So, like, she's not a participant. But she lives right by this property, apparently. So there was this kind of wonderful human moment where she's like, so I'm going to talk about this.
Okay. Robin Tice.
That's City Council President Delarian Wiggins.
Mr. Council President, thank you for this very awkward opportunity.
You know, because the city clerk is usually like, just all they do is record what's going on and say some very basic things. Who made the motion? You know, what was that again? You know, that kind of stuff, right? But she's, this matters to her.
I need Mr. Schell to do something good next door to me. My family and I have suffered for 20 years from that previous property owner. The multiple code violations, 32 cases, I believe he said, far exceeds the magistrate process. We used to have code enforcement process. They had even referred it to court twice. I can't even tell you how many times I've called the police department from all the activities.
So lots of problems.
Our code enforcement system needs a rehaul. I'm not saying they don't do what they're supposed to do, because they've always been out there, but the mentality of the previous property owner, you can't fix that kind of mentality. Doesn't matter. I watched him walk out of these chambers after being before the magistrate with his bird in the air, okay? You can't fix that kind of mentality.
That's not a pet bird, by the way.
And especially this kind of property, we're right on each other's lines. My daughter's never opened her blinds. She's 13. She's never opened her blinds in her room.
So she's telling, I mean, some pretty awful things. And it's important to understand that backdrop, okay? Because when we get to the actual issue and what the council said, it'll be worth it to understand what's going on with this one particular property owner in the past now that he sold the place to John Schell.
This previous property owner currently owns two other properties up the street from me. He does the same thing. So I don't know how you fix that kind of mentality. I just want you all to know I need something good to happen here. And to tell that side of the story, to fill in some of the blanks that Councilmember Moore was asking about, this affects people.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, and getting that property into somebody else's hands who's going to turn it into something good, that's a very, very beneficial thing for the city. But the problem they're running into is the city apparently does not have the same kind of process in place that the county has. See, when I was listening to this conversation, this is where I happen to be the beneficiary of having heard so many of these conversations at the county. Very common thing to have happen, where what happens is somebody wants to, again, it's a little different at the county. Somebody goes to sell a property, okay, and they've got liens for code enforcement. And those liens are made up of two different kinds of numbers. Number one are the, like, fines, the just sort of penalties. And number two are the actual hard costs, is what they always call them at the county conversation when the commissioners are talking about this, which is, you know, hours spent by staff actually working on this, you know, gas to and fro, you know, right? Okay, and so typically, like, let's say you have a $70,000 fine. They gave the numbers, but I think their estimate was about $15,000 of that was actual hard costs by city employees. And the remainder, the other, $55,000 or so, was the fines. And they were up to $100 a day fining. The problem is the person was never going to pay these fines. And their goal in life, this other person apparently, who owns these other properties and also neglects those, was, I'm going to find somebody to buy this and then they can deal with the problem. As in, there's no remedy to really solve this. Well, at the county, the way it works is you can't sell the property. The county says you can't sell the property because you owe us first. And so you have to clean it up, as in you have to solve the underlying code violation. Then you have to pay us. And generally what they will do is, especially if it's like, if it's the person themselves, it's the violator, they're not nearly this lenient typically. But if it's like some relative that inherited the property is a very common case, okay? And, or, you know, they're like a second or third named person on a spider web of connected properties. Because once one property is in, lien problems, then you can't sell anything. And one of their other properties might be co-owned by three people. And then one of those people is going to try to sell something else. And they can't because they can't get that property. Like, it's this spider web connection problem happens in the county very, very frequently. And so what they'll say typically is, if it's like an inheritor, they'll say, okay, get it in compliance, which it typically is. And then we'll waive the penalties. You just pay the hard costs, the small share of the overall fines. And so they waive, you know, thousands of dollars of fines. It's very common in the county because you can't sell the property. So they can sell the property, but you can't sell it without doing that. Well, in this case, there's all kinds of weirdness where the city apparently doesn't do it the way the county does. And I'm going to kind of explain this and maybe offer some solutions to the city, because this is one of those cases where I think the county does it right. And apparently the city hasn't quite figured this out yet. 647 Jake is sitting in for Candy this morning with traffic on the fives.
In Cantonment, Highway 29 South, about Well Line Road, we've got a car disabled there on the outside lane, so please use caution. Everything else is looking good. I-10, I-110 checking in clear. Tiger Point is looking good this morning. Highway 90 in Payson Milton checking in clear as well. This traffic report is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit. If you have any traffic tips, text them on in to 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
If you've got any kind of problem with the plumbing, a leak, a drip, a weird sound on the wall when you flush the toilet or turn on the faucet, that shouldn't happen. The plumbing shouldn't talk back to you. And if it stops, that's usually not better. That's worse. That's fixing to be even worse than it had been before. Anyway, the point is, call Barber. They'll take care of it. Water pressure, water temperature, whatever, they can work on all of that stuff. 477-8782 for Barber Plumbing. So back to this conversation about property and liens in the city. And Robin Tice again saying, we need a better way to solve all of this than sell the property, get away from the fees, and then hope that the buyer can solve this problem. Which John Schell said he tried to get the seller to take the price of the lien off of the selling price, and he just wouldn't budge on it. So, and I think partially because the seller believed that he had him over a barrel, or believed that he had power in the situation, and knew that he didn't actually have to pay the fines, which had been his plan all along, apparently.
I don't know how the lien system, maybe it works for other property owners that just have small fines. Probably the regular Joe pays his property fines. But somebody with this kind of mentality is going to let those fines build and build and hope they get wiped away when somebody else comes along. I don't know what the solution is, but there's got to be something other cities are doing.
Yeah, well, the county. Again, Escambia County does it differently. And that's the point, is you don't get to sell the property until you solve the fines, until you solve the lien, okay? That's the way the county does it, at least typically. That, I mean, they may not get it 100%, but that's kind of the process. Because even John Schell, he's like, what else could I do? I mean, he wouldn't take it off the sale price. He doesn't have a process to come in and solve it with. I mean, he could have come in and asked himself, but he wasn't willing to do that, obviously, you know. So what's left to me to do is either not buy the property, and it is that red brick I checked. It's that red brick kitty corner of the police department. And he said, what else can I do but come here and hope that you take care of it, right? That's my, you know, what else could I have done? There's no other process. And there's no process for me as the buyer potentially to come in and try to get you to do it until I own it. I wouldn't have standing in that case.
What could I have done differently? I mean, it seems like there's not a process in place to know if we were going to be able to get these fines wiped out or not without first purchasing the property. Is that Is that correct?
Yeah, he's exactly right. So the problem here is that the offender doesn't wind up paying the penalty, right? So a couple of thoughts. And by the way, Charles Baer was on the right track, City Councilman Charles Baer, because he was the one who suggested, well, I don't want to waive it entirely. I don't want to waive the 70-plus thousand, but I am willing to pull it down to like 10 to 15, which was our cost, and nobody went for that. I mean, Charles Baer was right. That would have been that's the way the county does it. They pull it down to the sunk cost from the city, or in that case, from the county, and then they waive the penalty kind of phase, the punishment phase. That's the right thing to do in this case, but the city really does need to set up a process that makes more sense. And Allison Patton also on the right track.
It is frustrating, though, that there isn't a process to hold that person accountable. And I would love to talk about the other two properties that I assume are in my district that this individual knows at some point after tonight. But I also wish there was a process before the investment is made or after the building is rehabilitated to try to, have those conversations about waiving fines.
All right, so here's my suggestion to the city. Number one, just get together with the county, maybe Allison Rogers at the county, and just ask her, okay, what's your process and what can we do like that? And here's what the county does. You can't sell it until you solve the fees. It's common, though not always, to waive the what you call the soft costs, the penalties and not the hard costs. And as long as you pay the hard costs and bring it into compliance, okay, both of those things. But there are a couple of other things the county does. One of the things that's key is that spider web concept where, once one property is in a lien situation or it's in penalties, you can't sell anything. Anything else you own is connected. So you can't do business, basically, until you solve that property. That spider web sometimes has unintended consequences, and I have often heard them at the county and thought, man, that just seems like a raw deal for the inheritors or whatever. But I see now why it's in place, because when you've got these just recalcitrant, just people who will not do what they're supposed to do, how do you make them do it? Well, again, you connect all the properties to this same problem. And so, they've got a nice shiny property over there. Well, they don't get to fix it up and sell it and make money when they're not willing to fix the other three or four. That's the way that spiderweb concept works. And I'll go one step farther than the county goes. This I don't know the legality of this, but I'll tell you how I feel about it. If you do not pay your property taxes 3 years, you lose your property. It goes up for auction. And if you do not pay the fines and fees and put your property back in compliance with the code, figure out a threshold. I'm not saying what the threshold should be, but 3 years seems pretty lenient to me. And if you don't fix it in 3 years, it goes up for auction. Because how else are you going to get them to do it? I mean, I don't love taking people's property, but if their property becomes a blight nuisance on the community because they will not put it up to code, I mean, you can't just do nothing. Because do nothing has gotten us in the situation we're in. So that would be my advice, is basically to the city, do it the way the county does it. This is one of those cases where Escambia County, I think, does it much, much better. And number two, put some kind of an ordinance in place where the property goes for auction if they don't get it into compliance within certain thresholds or parameters. I don't know whether that's percentage of the overall property value on the liens. And also add a provision where potential buyers can come and ask in advance. That would be nice, too, because you can ask in advance, say, I'm trying to buy this property and here's the issue. And they can decide what to do in advance before you obligate yourself by acquiring the property. 653 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. From our spectacular beaches to the miles of rivers and unspoiled forests, the Gulf Coast offers some of the best family adventure around. And the Subaru Crosstrek and Subaru Forester are the perfect family vehicles to explore every dune and unpaved trail in Northwest Florida. Both come standard with sure-footed symmetrical all-wheel drive to take you deep into the wild places you love. The Crosstrek is powered by 182 horsepower Subaru Boxer engine that adds plenty of go to any adventure, and the Forester boasts 9.2 inches of ground clearance to get you through every wilderness challenge. There's more than enough room for your gear and plenty of options to make the Crosstrek or Forester fit your lifestyle. In a Subaru, the destination is the journey, so grab the kids and the dog and follow your own path to adventure. Love is out there at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you. Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Change. Positive change is happening all around us. Greater Pensacola is growing. And that's why I joined the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Join us. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this Friday on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
National average for gallon of gas, $3.57. Florida's $3.29. Mississippi, $3.05. And California, $5.55. If you're in Navarre, $2.98. East of the Walmart, $2.99. West of the other Walmart, $2.98. Fort of the Garcon Point Bridge, $3.19. In Gulf Breeze proper. And they're all over the board. Everywhere from $3.19 to $3.49. That's, I think, at the Exxon. $3.05 at the CEFCO in Milton. $3.04 at the Pea Ridge Murphy. $3.05 if you go to the... See, that's the raceway on Highway 90 getting through Pace. If you're in Pensacola on 9 Mile, 285 at the Walmart, 295 at the raceway on North Davis, 299 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. Coming in from the southwest side, 304 at the Navy Murphy station. These gas prices are brought to you by Pete Moore Volkswagen with the lowest out-the-door price on your next new Volkswagen, PeteMooreImports.com. 657, a bit late to traffic with Jake. Go ahead, sir.
That's okay. We're looking pretty good. We had an earlier disabled vehicle on Highway 29 south at Wellline Road. That's looking okay now, though. Everything else is looking good. Tiger Point, Highway 90, 10, 110, everything is looking good. This traffic report is brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit KnoxPest.com. Knox knocks them out. If you have traffic tips, text them on in 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jake. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The migrant crisis in New York apparently is still getting worse. New York Mayor Eric Adams says the city is averaging 4,000 new migrants every week. Adams says it's a constant battle to find shelter space for them. Once again, he's asking for federal help with that issue. Apparently, ex-users that are opening new accounts in the Philippines and New Zealand are now being charged to use the site.
The social media platform, formerly known as Twitter, says the $1 annual charge is aimed at combating bots. A post in the X Help Center says they started testing a new program on Tuesday called Not a Bot, which is designed to reduce spam and bot activity. The new program will not affect existing users in those two countries. I'm Michael Kastner.
I'm not sure it'd be worth a dollar a year for me, but for some people, I'm sure it is.
Well, and so it's only in those two countries, and it's only new users, and apparently it's only on the desktop. So if you do it on your phone, on your app, it doesn't count. But yeah, their effort to cut down on bots. My first thought was, I don't know, a buck a year, right? So, but anyway, David, thanks so much for the update. Future news, a short one. Will they solve the speaker mess today?
Yes.
No. I've become
I'm
a pessimist.
Wrong
I'm
on
out.
This one.
I'm totally
always
out on all
wrong
of this.
On this one.
And how long will we be doing the recycling drop-off on Palafox?
Listen on air 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.